and welcome to How Fitting, the podcast for fashion designers and entrepreneurs about creating clothing and growing a business that fits your customer, lifestyle, and values. I'm your host, Allison Haynes. Before we get started, do you want to get your designs to production without compromising your brand's fit, vision, or values? My pattern making services are tailored to help women's wear slow fashion brands do just that. You can learn more and book a free introduction call at howfittingpatterns.com to see if we'd be a good fit to work together. Now on to the episode.
Today I'm joined by OG of her brand OG Ajibe. So welcome to the show, OG.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited. For those who are meeting you for the first time, could you share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Hi, everyone. So my name is OG Ajibe. You can also call me OG. That's letter O and the letter G. And I have a clothing brand, sustainable clothing brand, comfortable, fashionable, from size extra small to 5SL. And everything is made here in Canada, Vancouver, where I stay. And I also tend to use a lot of recycled fabric and dead stock fabrics. So yeah, I just make beautiful and comfortable clothing for people of all sizes. Yes.
Love it. And yeah, I can see just like looking at the pictures of the things that you make, and I can tell like you and everyone who wears it is always smiling. So I feel like your clothes are very fun too, and lots of different people that are wearing the pieces. So cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what is your background? So do you have a background in fashion, the fashion industry? I know your brand has kind of gone through several kind of like iterations over the years, but where did things start? How did you get into this?
Okay. I would say probably growing up when I was a little kid, I would always rip up clothes and kind of use needle and thread, even though I didn't know what I was doing, to sew them. But one thing stood out for me back in high school was whenever I dressed up, people would always notice me. Oh, that looks good. Like school uniforms in high school, I would add like my own designs. So that's where that started. And then I'm originally from Nigeria. 2015, I moved to Canada. And I went to study psychology. I don't know who I thought I was. But after one semester, I'm like, this is not for me. Fashion design is for me. So I just moved into a diploma program, LaSalle College here in Vancouver. And I studied fashion design for like 2 years.
Gotcha. And yeah, what was that experience like? Did you always know that you wanted to start your own brand after you went through that program? Or what were your goals about your career at that point going into the program?
For me, I knew I wanted to own a business because my dad owned his own business, but it was a hospitality. But I loved fashion, right? Mm-hmm. So when I went into the fashion school, I just wanted to see what it was like. I've never sewed before. I just keep hearing about fashion, but I didn't know anything in details. But when I went into fashion school, I then learned how to do pattern. I didn't like pattern initially, but now pattern making is my best. I learned how to do pattern. I learned how to sew. But then when sitting in class, I would always hear the professors talking about where you work for someone, which is nice. But then I also wanted to start my own thing. So when I learned how to do pattern, I learned how to sew. 2018, I started making, I used to do like photo shoots. I used to do styling too for like photography students in my school. I would do like styling for them to do their last project. I was like, okay, I've learned how to sew. Why not just start making your own clothes and be using them for the styling work you usually do? So that's how that started. And I was invited for a fashion show and someone bought my clothes, a dress for $65 for the first time. And after that, I was like, okay, there's something here.
Yeah, that's so exciting to like go through that and do your first show and people are already buying your clothes. I'm curious, could you go a little bit more into that? Like, what was it? Well, first of all, like, how did you become part of that fashion show? And yeah, like, what was kind of the reaction that you got? How did you feel when people wanted to then buy the pieces? Because I think that's what a lot of designers, you know, want from a fashion show, but it doesn't always happen. So yeah, talk a little bit more about that experience.
Oh, okay, so what happened was, because I was already like sewing clothes and taking pictures and using them for like photo shoots. So my friends knew about that. And the one thing was for sure, I was already posting online, but I was just posting for fun. I wasn't posting because people were going to buy it. I just loved my work. I loved my work. I loved the craft. But for some reason in my head, I was like, people were not going to buy this. I wasn't good enough to come and start putting price on them. So I was just using it for photo shoots. So there was a school that had like an African kind of end of the year event. So a friend was like, "You have clothes, why not just show at the school fashion show?" I'm like, "Me?" Like, no. She was like, "Just do it." I'm like, "Okay, this is going to be the first time." That was in 2018, I believe. That was the first time my clothes will be in the public. So I just made up like a few other things. I included one plus size, not real plus size, but like a two extra large. Just one, and so I just gathered some friends, called up some people. It was a free fashion show. I didn't get paid just to show my clothes or anything, and I didn't pay anything. So after the fashion show, the model that wore the two extra large was like, "I don't want to take this off. I want to go home with it." I'm like, "Are you for real?" I tapped my friend. I'm like, "She wants to go home with my clothes, and she wants to pay me for it." So there and then she was like, "Oh, how much?" I've never done costing. I don't know what costing was. I'm like, obviously, I've been taught that in school, but I was standing there. Someone was like, "How much is it? I want to go home. I want to take off. I don't want to take it off." I'm like, 85? No, 65 Canadian dollars. That will do. So it just happened. And I ended up taking the clothes home because I was like, "Oh no, it's not ironed enough. I still want to go home and change the zip." The lady was like, "It's nice." I still ended up taking it home, remaking the whole dress because I wasn't confident in myself that someone can take this home. So
Oh,
like,
wow.
yeah. So it was after that, I was like, "Oh, okay, this is nice." And after that, I then started taking custom orders from people, like event dresses, wedding dresses, prom dresses. So that's how I started off.
Yeah, that's such an amazing story, and I feel like that's so relatable of, kind of the stages of going through and like learning the craft and learning how to do business where at first you were like, this is not good enough for someone to take home, but she's like begging you to buy it and take it home. So it's like it obviously was. So yeah, how did you kind of grow in your confidence and grow in your business knowledge after that? Did you immediately kind of start your brand, or was that still a little bit like took a little bit longer to get that going?
Oh, so it still took time. It was for confidence. I just had to understand. I'm a Christian, so I do a lot of things with God and the Holy Spirit. I just have to understand that I just have to keep going. Like I just saw myself pushing, even though and before someone bought my clothes, I was already posting online for fun, just showing people what I was doing. So posting online and marketing myself wasn't an issue for me because I was even doing it when I wasn't getting paid. So now I noticed I could get paid by it, so that motivated me enough. So I just kept on doing that. I just kept on showing up on Instagram, begging friends to share my page. So then friends of friends, word of mouth, oh, she makes clothes. Oh, I wanted to make my prom dress. And I then hashtag worked a lot on Instagram. So I always put like hashtag prom dress 2019, prom dress 20, and also try to put my location. So now people are now reaching out to me in DM because they already see the work. I was already posting and I was getting those pictures for free because I was doing collaborations with photographers. So I just used the opportunity and people then started reaching out. But even at the same time, I will always remake clothes. I wasn't sure. Like I will not put the zip till the customer comes in for me to fit everything. Because even it took me time to be confident in my own. Even till now, but at least now I've mastered it a little bit now. But then I always be like, "Oh, I will not cut it till when they come. I will check the length." Because I didn't want to damage people's clothes. So, but yeah, that continued till 2020. So I was doing that. I had a full-time job then. I was doing that till 2020 till COVID happened, and there was no more events, no more prom, and I have to then rebrand. So what I have now. So okay, Ajibe, I have now. So yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, quite the journey.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah, so when the pandemic came and you were doing all this formal wear, custom, like what went into kind of that shift then from the custom-made formal wear to the pieces you make now, which are very kind of everyday, you know, what you could wear for lots of different things, but in, you know, not formal. What kind of went into that shift, and did you, yeah, what went into that?
It was tough. 2020 in general was tough for everybody. Lockdown started here in March. As that happened, obviously proms were canceled, people were reaching out for their refund. The next month, April, I lost my full-time job. And now I was sitting with no business and I was sitting with no work. But thank God I had like a bit of savings. I started saving like a few months before. And also, kind of, when it comes to finances, Canada also gave some money to people there that was not working. So at least my rent and food was covered. So, but now I have to find something to do. Finding work in COVID was like the hardest thing ever. Nobody was going out. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? Like, what should I do? I already had some extra fabrics. And guess what I did? I made some clothes, called some friends, made food, and we were just creating content. I made pants, I made shorts, I made dresses, and we were just creating content, really, just having fun. I will make food, they will come and eat, we will eat, drink. That it was COVID, right? So people were not going out much, and I lived in a spacious place then. We were just making content. I was like, I don't even know where this is going, but then I then slowly decided to start moving into ready-to-wear. So I started making like simple dresses instead of the flowy dresses. And I'll post it online. I'll be like, oh, new collection launching soon. I don't know what I was doing. I was like, new collection launching soon. If you need me, I saw right from time I started it made to order. And that's what I'm still doing till date. So even though I didn't know that was what it was called, because I was just coming off, because I've been figuring everything out myself, right? So there was no one to teach me. I was just going with how things were going. So that's how that started. And the people, but I think I only got like one order from like July to like September, I think. But face masks also came into the picture, right? So I started doing a lot of face masks. People ordered, I said posting on Facebook pages for face masks. I was using like African prints, so which was unique from the normal black and white. So people were ordering through Facebook. So that was how that started happening till August 2020. A small business here in Vancouver did like a giveaway kind of thing where she was going to mentor. The name of the brand is Free Label. The owner is Jess, where she was going to mentor either a black or indigenous small business. And she was going to give them 5,000 Canadian dollars. So it was more of like a competition. Someone forwarded that to me. And as of September 2020, I won the competition and I had 5,000 dollars, and I also had
Nice.
a scholarship. So she was the one that guided me through everything, how to launch your brand properly, how to do a photo shoot, how to where to get fabrics from. I then did my first official launch of collection, still made to order, December 2020.
Congrats. So what was maybe, so you went to fashion school, but it sounds like you still felt kind of unprepared for fashion business. I mean, I went to fashion school too, and we at now the university I went to has a fashion business degree, but when I went, they didn't. And so I get you there where there wasn't much taught about the business side. What were kind of the biggest things that you had to learn about business that you wish you would have learned in school?
A lot, I would say a lot when it comes to fashion. Fashion business is so different from every other business you see there, like food business, other product business. Fashion is so different, especially for someone who doesn't have a physical store, have an online store. So if you want to talk about costing, the costing is a whole different thing when it comes to, I'm happy I had the guidance. I had someone who already was in the industry that helped me out. Professional school just will teach you the common costing. But I do plus size. The costing they do is with size 8. Plus size is like at times double the size of the fabric. Size as a size 8 person. And I can't cost I can't cost my so it's a whole thing that I have to figure out. For me, the method I use is that I use the costing of my biggest sizes that sell, which is 3XL. I don't use my smaller sizes. So those are like the little things I have to tweak to learn on my own. Also, pattern making, they didn't teach plus size pattern making. I have to figure that out myself. How to negotiate with fabric manufacturers. Those were the things that we are not taught in school that I have to like learn on my own. But I learned pattern making in school. I learned how to sew in school, which was super, super helpful, and I'm still using it now. But apart from the pattern making and the construction, trust me, I didn't take anything out again from school. So I always advise people that ask me questions. I'm like, yeah, if you want to go to fashion school just for the environment to learn, do. But at the same time, look for a small business, a place you can work, or at least intern, or go to like these smaller classes that teach for like how to run your fashion business. You will learn a lot with those people, or podcasts too, listen to them, and they will really help you. Because fashion school, as of then, I graduated in 2018. I don't know what it's like now. They still need a lot of improvement when it comes to running a business.
Yeah, I totally agree. My experience was similar of we only made patterns for, size like 2 or 4, like the model size. And I feel like the strategy and like how to fit a body and how to make well-fitting clothes is the same, but the proportions, obviously, as are different for plus size and the fabric requirements. And so to learn all that and be able to apply like why it works and what to tweak to make it really fit on different sizes takes practice or training outside of school.
Yes, even pricing too. And they didn't really teach, like, obviously, they taught with the textbooks and everything, but pricing also differs. Like, someone was telling me, instead of pricing, these are like small things, instead of pricing $60, can price 58. People buy more 58 than 60. It's just $2 extra. Or you can increase it to 62 because most people don't buy. Okay, you can increase it to 62. You might think it doesn't make sense, but people buy a number that is two. I don't know. There's just a whole lot of small tactics that you can use. Yeah, I'm also trying to differentiate price of fast fashion and slow fashion. It's just a whole thing.
Definitely all the psychology that goes into pricing, as well as making sure, as a slow fashion brand that you and anyone else who might be helping you with these garments are paid well. There's a lot that goes into that for sure. So I know on several of your Instagram posts that you've talked about how you are able to create clothing in 10 different sizes, from the extra small to the, I think you said 6XL, and while the big brands are saying they can't afford it. And so I'm curious, in your experience, is the cost of creating inclusive sizes really the barrier, or do you think it's something else going on with those bigger brands?
Well, I think it's something else that is going on. I think for them, I'll speak for the first world, but I'll speak on this now. I think for them, they tend to focus more on representation, not showing fat bodies or bigger bodies or inclusive bodies on their social media, on their platform. They just have this perception of something they need to keep up to. I think that's one thing for them. And also the next thing of them not being able to afford it, I think it also goes hand in hand with fast fashion and slow fashion. They just want to make things go quick. They're not focusing on fits. They're not focusing, does this fit this person? Does this not fit this person? They just want to go, let's make, sorry to use the word, but let's make garbage bags for bigger folks because they want things that are big. They don't want things that are fitted. They don't like print, so everything is in gray. Like if little me in my house can figure out, try to figure out trend, try to figure out print. I don't know why bigger brands are making like gray, black, and like the most horrible prints for bigger folks. I just think it has a lot with them being able to slow down, which I know they can. I know there was it 2 years ago, Lululemon, because I'm in Vancouver and this is their headquarters. They wanted to introduce their plus size, and they did this whole model fitting and stuff. And I went for one of those, even though I didn't get hired, because I was trying going there to give them advice, even though I didn't get hired. Even though with the interview, you could see they were still picking certain, you are still picking certain type of body size. Example, I am bigger on my, okay, example, I'll give you an example. My boobs are not that big, but my back is. So they had an issue that my boobs and my back is not matching. Does that make sense?
The
Because my boobs
proportions
are
are
smaller.
different than like what
Yes.
they're fitting. Yeah.
Yes, obviously that was the reason why I didn't get hired for that. But then that also gave me a different perspective. They have a certain body size in mind, but that's not the way everybody is. You understand? Some people have bigger down and smaller up. Some people have smaller up. Some people have bigger arms, but their other bodies are smaller. So I know it's impossible to service everyone, but trying to at least have one or two or three items that everybody can shop and wear and look good is also nice. So I think in general, they don't want to represent other bodies. And I think they don't want to, that's why slow fashion is different from fast fashion. They don't want to slow down and figure out fitting and perfecting all these other things. They just want things to get done fast. And for them, I think money for them comes first, which is understandable. This business can be tough. But I think for them, they're always just a profit. They don't really care much about how the customers and how the people feel. So that's just my contribution to that.
Yeah, great point where it's less about the, well, it is somewhat about the, to slow down would cost them more. Maybe hire some different fit models of varying proportions, but yeah, you mentioned it's also about the marketing and wanting to market and I like their ideal, and I use that in quotes because it, what is an ideal and why is that sold to us? But yeah, it's just as much about the marketing and what they're wanting to portray about their brand than it is about the money of creating plus sizes. I can see that for sure. So, how do you in your brand then, like, what does your design process look like in order to create those pieces that really do look good on everybody, like you said?
When I started, okay, when I was doing custom, right, I noticed that most of the folks that were coming to me to make custom for them were like a lot of moms that wanted to attend their kids' or friends' wedding, but they couldn't find something that fits well, just because most of them are really not all, but most of them were the bigger size. I didn't really see that as a problem though, but I noticed that. So when doing custom helped me a lot. Because now I'm doing measurements for a lady, and she's like, "Oh, I don't want my arms to show. I just want half. I don't want my tummy to show. Can you come up with a design that will not show my tummy?" So now I was speaking to them personally and getting to hear what they want. But then I didn't know that what I was learning when I was doing custom was going to come in handy when I started to do ready to wear, right? So when I then decided to do my ready to wear, I put all those things into consideration. Now I had like series of patterns of different body size, but it was still difficult trying to figure out my own measurements. I think that was one of the hardest things that took me so much time, because as of then, that was around 2020, I believe, I was trying to figure out a standard measurement. Obviously, the first thing to do is to look up other brands that have like plus size, look around to see what other people are doing and the measurements. And I kid you not, I didn't see anything that was relevant. Like everything was just like the measurement was not. I know I'm also on the bigger size. So I also take the measurements on my own self, right, to see, and the measurements were so off. Like with the people I was seeing on like other brands. So what I did was go onto YouTube. Thanks, a big thank you, and God bless. Home sewers are really helping the fashion industry in a different way that people are not talking about. Thanks to them, I read blogs, I watched videos of how they were tweaking already made patterns to fit them, and the sizes and how to figure it out. That was actually how I was able to figure out my own measurements. So that was the first thing I did, trying to figure out my measurements, And another thing again I did, and I'm still doing, is when I created my blocks individually to 6SL. I didn't create one block and grade it, no. And I did that for my woven bodice, I did that for my woven pants, and I did that for my knits. I created everything individually
Oh,
to
wow.
match my measurements. So now I have a block that I'm working with, right? And so now I can draft it out. And I had friend, she was also a graduate from fashion school, amazing girl, amazing lady, Emmy is her name. I sat down with her and I explained my sizing, I explained my pattern. She got it and she ran with it. So I do all my patterns, but majority of my patterns, like my pants, she did everything, but she worked with the block I made. I also have to get a grader on hand that will help me with digitalize my grading. So it was like 4 hours discussion with her because she had never graded a plus size before. Until today, she still makes some mistakes. I'm like, okay, we'll do this. This is where we're going to do it. We are not just going to keep increasing to, no, don't make the pants longer.
Yeah,
You got
that
people
drives me
on.
crazy. I see that all the time, like with sleeves too, sleeves and pants. Your inseam gets shorter at some point. It does not get longer.
I'm like, sorry to say this, but they get bigger and wider and no longer. So it was a lot of mistakes, like trying to work with other people because I figured it out on my own. And I will tell you till date, just to avoid a lot of hustle and stuff, I still design one pattern and design them individually to CSSL and just give it to my grader to digitalize. And I've graded this myself already. Like, that's why I say slow fashion or fast fashion. I don't think they have the time to do this method I'm using. But for me, using it and doing it this way saves me a whole lot of stress. To date, I've probably gotten like maybe 4 to 5 people that have complained about fits. And that's because probably they got the wrong size, not because it didn't fit them, especially with my pants and my top and my dresses. So because I put in the work earlier to figure out my sizing, it have saved me a lot. So that's just the method I used and I'm still using. See, and a lot of fitting on different bodies. And what did I called my friends, come and try clothes for me. So like my friends have different bodies, small, medium, those are bigger than me, those are bigger than those are like size 0. So I just give them clothes. I'm like, just have to just make food for them. I invite them to my home and we fit clothes. So yeah, that's the way I was able to figure making plus size out. But I just took the time and the patience. I don't have enough patience though, but fashion is teaching me that.
No, I love that whole process, and I 100% agree with you. Like, good fit takes time and it takes tweaking, and like, you're never gonna get right the very first time. You have to put in the effort and then try it on lots of people and get their feedback, and then make it slightly better and slightly better as you start to get the feedback from different people trying it. And yeah. The unique way that you've kind of created the sizing by doing the end, like each individual size of each style versus grading it from one or two sizes. You really, it sounds like, drew on all the insight you gained from doing custom garments and was able to get that fit across your whole size range.
I think that was just the best thing. Even though I didn't know that was going to help me, but that really helped when I started my own brand in measurements and everything, and also knowing what people want and what people don't want.
Yeah. Did you find, or do you find that there are certain styles that tend to work better, or like people in certain sizes like better, and then certain designs work better for maybe smaller or larger sizes? Or is it really kind of across the board, you're able to get one design that looks good on kind of across the whole size range?
It varies, and also I think the clothing item also matters. When it comes to pants, all sizes don't really matter. Like this, like small sizes or bigger sizes, they don't really care that much as far as the pants fit, and it's comfortable for me. So when it comes to pants, I've not really seen much people complain. The only thing is, most of my pants, I tend to make them for people. Not, it's not intentionally, but I just notice most of my pants tend to fit so well on those that have like a bit of a bum. So maybe people that are slimmer, if they wear it, or smaller, they might be like, oh, there's a bit of fabric at the back, so I have to like go back and tweak in my smaller sizes. Well, not much, because I also know some smaller sizes folks also have a bit of a bum. But that's the only thing for pants. For tops, when the tops that are sleeveless, a lot of plus size tend to complain, inclusive sizing people. But most of them, for some reason, don't like showing their arms, which is definitely respectable. So there was a year I did a sleeveless dress, like a tie dress. I'm looking to repeat it this year, though. Hopefully, it will do well this year. But I did it like 3 years ago, and people didn't really receive it that much. They're like, "Oh, my arm! And it's supposed to be a summer dress. I don't want to wear something that is going to like make me sweat." So yeah, I noticed people tend to lean towards some certain things. But what have always worked for me is most of my clothes can be worn in different ways. And I do the job to show people. I know everyone is not going to see my video on Instagram, but I try to include that in my email. I do the job of showing people different ways to wear my clothing. Because for some reason, fashion I've always taught us, or what I've seen in the media, is that you wear your clothes once. That's not my motto. I try to teach people and tell people, you can wear this and you can wear it in different ways. So I think me trying to show people how to wear one clothing in different ways, and also try to include as much body size as I can, really helps a lot. So now people are seeing themselves in these clothes. And on a normal time, on a normal day, on my Instagram, I usually do like, oh, I'm going to use this top, my face top, and I will show you how I wear it with this in my wardrobe. And now I have like a casual black pants. I have like a casual black top under. I have like a casual jacket. And in Canada, it's always cold here, showing them how to style. There was this knit dead stock turtleneck I did. It was transparent. And I did it during fall. And I showed people how to wear it to the office, how to wear tank top under, how to wear your jacket over it. So that really helps a lot. So I think all sizes kind of lean towards buying all my clothes because I'm very good at showing them how to wear them.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I did notice like you have some really fun styling videos of just showing like I think it was your harmony top that can be kind of worn forwards and backwards and tied a bunch of different ways. And some of those is like, oh, I wouldn't have thought to ever wear it that way, but it looks really cool.
Yes.
Awesome. So I know you also talk about helping people, like showing them how to present themselves through fashion. So how do you go about, is kind of the styling the part of that, but how do you go about showing or helping people?
At times, I wish I can be able to go to the house or maybe speak to everyone who shops from me over the phone. To speak to them, but obviously I can't do that. I can only do that through my email and my social media. That's the only way they can see me. But I always try to educate people on Instagram as much as I can that is beyond clothes. It's beyond feeling good. No, it's beyond clothes. It also includes feeling good. Like, how do you feel when you wear clothes? And that is why I love colors a lot, right? I know color is not everybody's thing. But trying to get them to give it a try, trying to get them to give. I've not done prints that much, but in the past years, I've done quite bold prints, nice prints. I've never tried prints till I saw your clothes, right? Because there's this knowledge people have that it's clothes. So, like, just wear them. Like, it's not, I know it's nothing, but I think I try my possible best to pour out the way I feel when making those clothes. And like when you do your pattern, you do your sample and you put it on and you're like, this looks good. So that first joy I feel, I try my possible best to express it as much as I can online by making the videos, educating them. And also when it comes to bigger folks, which are people that shop way more from me, putting these bold prints on bigger bodies and they're like, okay, wow, I only see gray, I only wear black. But you're making me try different things, right? So I think the main thing for me is educating them when I can and also making these videos and for them to see that you can also wear these clothes. Like, it's not just meant for a particular set of people, Well, less for me. I want to speak to everybody on the phone. I'm like, wear that clothes. How does that make you feel? Wear it. Take it out from where you stored it and wear it. Clothes are meant to be worn, and not once, not twice, in different ways or for different occasions.
I'm curious, how have you learned to, represent yourself through your fashion? Was that something that was always kind of innate in you, or has your own personal style developed over the years?
Oh, my personal style have developed over the years. Currently, something is not comfortable, I'm not wearing it. I don't mind. I don't know how good. I don't even care how good it looks. It has to be comfortable for me. So comfort also comes first for me. So my style have actually changed in the past years. But the thing is, I don't buy clothes anymore. So 2 years have gone. I don't buy clothes because I end up wearing my old clothes all the time. And I tend to make a lot of, like, if I have events, I also tend to make, like, personal. I'm so happy whenever I make my own clothes for myself. Yeah, but my style have actually changed. I'm leaning towards comfort. Anything that's not comfortable, I'm not wearing it. Yeah, I think that's because it's, I don't focus. The truth is, I don't focus so much on myself. That's just the truth. I tend to focus more on business. I tend to focus more on the business. But yeah, but I when I make clothes, I look at it, I wear them because I always make my first sample for my size, and I wear them, and I'm like, how are people feeling this? How am I currently feeling? Is this what people are going to like? Is it what my customers are going to like? So yeah, but also my personal style also keep developing and changing. Like this year, I'm way into skirts, and I'm launching a dead stock collection, recycled fabric collection of 28 pieces of skirts. Different sizes and different prints, so my own style can also my own style also tend to influence on what I launch in my collections too.
Yeah, so what are some of the values? You've mentioned some of them, but what are the values that are important to you and your brand?
The presentation matters a lot. Sustainability matters a lot, and I know there are a lot of debates on this. If recycled fabrics are also considered a sustainable fabric. Me, here in Ogajibe, we consider it a sustainable fabric because these are fabrics that are already dumped, like they're already there. Like whether you agree to it or not, they are already made. Understand? And if they are not used, they're still going to end up in the landfill. Why not just recycle them and use them to make? I tend to use them to make a lot of one-off collections. Very unique collection that people will keep years to come. Also try to teach people as recycle as much as I can, even though I know the fashion industry sees a lot of improvement when it comes to recycling of fabrics. Currently, it's still very expensive to recycle fabrics. So for me, it's representation, sustainability, on how to, sustainability for me also includes how to wear your clothes in different ways, not just in one way, because then you can make use of that clothes like to match up what you bought it for, if that makes sense, and just keep using. That's also under sustainability, showing different ways to wear it. So for me, it's representation, sustainability, and also educating people on what it takes to make their clothes. Fashion industry doesn't mention or talk about enough what goes into making one garment. Oh, they don't say it enough. And I don't know when they will start saying it. And I think small business are so swamped trying to do everything that they also miss out on this part, showing people what it actually takes to make their clothes. So these three things, obviously there's a lot of things that matters a lot to me, but mine is sustainability representation and also educating people on what it takes to make the garments they wear, either fast fashion or slow fashion. Someone made that clothing. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so on the note of like not talking about what goes into making the clothes, can you give us like walk us through the steps you take, like the journey of one of your pieces from start to finish? Where does that piece have to go through in order to get into the customer's hands in the end?
Okay, so for me, for some most of the times, I'm inspired by fabrics, really. Obviously, when I see styles I think I like or I might tweak, I save them. I do a lot of saving on Pinterest. I have like my mood board on I have a collection saved on Instagram. So these are just like inspiration, not like I'm going to do this or do this, but just inspiration. I can always go and look at and see trends, what people are doing and what people are not doing. I've also tried to stay updated with like Vogue trends, even though most of them might not really, they don't really represent bigger bodies, but I find a way to tweak them. So this is when it comes to design inspiration, that's what I do. But my style and my inspiration of what to make always comes from fabric. I love colors, I love prints. So at times I may not even have a collection planned, but I will go to like the fabric wholesale place just to take a look and see what they have. I go to the wholesale showrooms just to see what they have, and I might say like, oh, this will look good as a, this will look good as a top, this will look good as a pants, can I get a sample? So for me, that's really the way I get my, it's like if I'm just out of inspiration, I go to fabric shopping and I go to thrift stores. I go to secondhand stores. I have a thing with secondhand stores. Like I've covered all the secondhand stores in my city. And whenever I go to other cities, I try to visit at least one or two. So that's a lot. I'll just go lift clothes, take a look at them. If it's the one I purchase them. So that's how for me inspiration comes. And lucky now I get my fabric. I have my fabric. I draft my pattern. I'm always the first person doing the best pattern. Even if it's a difficult one, I might have to send it to get corrected, because I still, even though I know I'm good, I still want a second eye to take a look at it, especially if it's a complicated design. Well, I still draft my pattern. I draft the first pattern, make it in my size, do my fitting myself. After that, I will then do a fitting for, I will then draft a smaller size, get my very good friend to test it for me. And if everything is good to go, I take those samples and I hire my models and I will send the pattern to the person that grade it for me. Or if it's a pattern I can grade easily, like my Harmony wrap top, that was so easy. I didn't need to send it to anybody. I graded it myself. So I can grade it or send it out to be graded and I find my models. Now samples are ready. If it's a lot of sample, I have an amazing lady that worked with me. I cut, I still cut when the fabric comes. I still, everything is still done in-house for me. I cut out the samples and I give it to her to sew if it's a lot. So when she's done or when I sew the samples, it comes back to my home studio and I hire my models for photo shoots. Yeah, we do photo shoots and immediate photo shoot is done, is ending up on my Instagram. No clothes is made yet. And I, so when it launches, when the collection goes live, I would then, so when people order, I would then use the money to buy the fabrics and then make them and ship it to them. So I do made to order. So people tend to wait like 4 to 6 weeks for their clothing. And I've been doing that for the past 4 years and people have been so patient with me and appreciative. So yeah, so that's my method and the way I run my business. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fascinating insight into how clothing really gets made. There's so many steps, as I'm sure,
Oh.
any other fashion business owner knows.
Oh.
There's a lot that goes into it.
There's a
And
lot that goes into a fabric. When your fabric supplier reach out to them, like the fabric is sold out and you have people's money and clothes. I'm currently in that kind of situation now and I'm like, so what should I do? So yeah, that's a
like
whole
you
nother.
they pre they've place their order and you bought the fabric, but they haven't gotten their the clothes yet because it has you're making them to order. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, there's a time where the timeline is slow. I've had a situation where one of the ladies that sold with me, she's from India. She had an emergency and she had to leave everything and travel back to India immediately. I wasn't able to get the clothes and I had to wait for a few weeks before she came back to grab the
Oh no.
clothes. Yeah, running a business is a whole thing. Like they don't teach you this. Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing most of the things, it sounds like, yourself, other than you're hiring models and you're getting your friends to do some fit testing with you and then working with the seamstress when you have a lot of orders. But how do you balance doing kind of everything else in your business? Like, it's so much. How do you decide what to do when and keep track of it all?
I wish I can tell you I'm balancing it, but unfortunately, I don't think I've gotten there. I'm
Well,
not
I mean, you've been doing this for 4 years, so
the
obviously something you're doing is working.
I I think I just tend to, obviously, I use my calendar a lot. I just tend to focus on two things I tend to focus a lot on, and every other thing I can get to it is making sure the clothes leave, making sure the clothes gets to people on time, and also marketing, posting on social media and digital marketing and email. Because if the money is not coming in, I'll not be able to find an order, right, to ship out. So I try my best. That's why I'm always consistent on social media. So I try my personal best to focus on marketing, and then trying to make sure the clothes production is done and shipped out. Well, currently production is taking so much from me, and before the ending of the year, I should be able to move my production to factories, at least when it comes to sewing, making the clothes, and digitalize that, and just focus on other things in the business. But for me, what takes me so much time currently is production, because I still do the cutting. The fabric still comes in, I cut them, which is a whole. I have my machine though. I used to cut. I don't use scissors. Oh, there was a period I used scissors and my hands were gone. So I just said it's like the fabric big cutter to do them currently. But by the end of the year, I'm looking to move my production to factories, so I can just focus on growing every other aspect of the business, like hiring people, training people, the logistics, and also improving designs. Because I'm currently at a state where I want to switch up some of my designs to like, but most of none of my dresses have zip, so most of them are like free loose dresses. So I want to do like a lot of fitted clothes, which I'm scared because people's bodies are different. So I'm currently working on that part. I'm currently on my own. I'm also trying to do leggings. So yeah.
We've got a lot. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yes, yeah.
So long term, like, what does success look like for you in your business?
For me, I think it's more people to discover my brand and discover what I have to offer, especially with my use of colors and prints and comfortable clothes. Because I tell you, I still hear it to date where people complain that they don't find what they are looking for. Or when people discover my brand newly and they're like, oh wow, I never knew a brand like this existed. And for me, I think I post enough, or I talk about my business enough, but I don't think it's never enough. You just have to keep showing, so I get more visibility. And I'm also trying to get into wholesale. As I know, wholesale is not the sweetest thing when it comes to money, to small businesses. But for me, the money is beautiful. I want all the money. But for me, it's also beyond. I want people to be able to wear beautiful clothes, colorful clothes. So trying to get into wholesale, into bigger chain stores in the US, that's legit what I'm currently working towards. At least people can see that there are designers, there are small designers here who are actually paying attention to different body size. So for me, just visibility, get my clothes into wholesales and stores. And probably in the future, if there's a room to open a store for me, it's not something I'm really thinking about currently. But if there's a room in the future for that, I don't mind going for that. And also more extended sizes. But one of the things that is closer to what one of the goals I'm closer to doing now is moving to manufacturing. I think I'll be able to grow more if I'm not doing everything in-house. It's not me and my stress. It's like the factory making it. So yeah, those are like my long-term
Your
goals.
goals,
Yeah. At times I feel like they are not big though.
No, I feel like you'd totally be able to achieve them. It sounds like from your journey so far, you're very good at like figuring out and learning what you need to learn and like going for it, like taking the opportunity even before you feel like everything is perfect, because it never is. You're always going to figure out,
Oh,
new ways to do things better.
yeah, I think it's just because of how I started really small. Obviously, when I started, I had like all these massive goals, and it felt like what I was just doing to myself is disappointing myself. And just because I set these massive goals, and at the time, I was like, no, your goals are beautiful, those massive goals are beautiful, but let's look at where we can get to in the next 2, 3 years and 4 years, and we'll take it from there. So I just tend to set the goals that I know I can see and just towards them. Yeah, I'm just building myself for that massive growth. I know that it's going to happen pretty soon. I don't know when, but just trying to set the structures around to be able to service more people and supply goods to more people. So yes.
Yeah, I love that. Breaking down that kind of big goal into more like smaller chunks that you can do today, this month, this year in order to work to that long-term goal.
Yes.
What would you say is like the biggest challenge you've had running your brand so far?
Without a doubt, I would say finances, because that's what all small businesses struggle with. Finances too, for supply, for labor, things are getting expensive, fabrics are getting expensive.
Even
Labor.
shipping.
Oh, don't tell me about shipping. Why am I ordering a fabric of $200 and shipping is almost $100 or 70? And this is not including tax. So that's a whole lot. So for me, it's always the finances, every other thing that comes with the money issue. I think the second one is also visibility. Like at times it just feels like this is just me being a bit vulnerable now. At times it just feels like you are this tiny fish in a massive ocean trying to scream, I'm here, I'm here. But then there are big sharks everywhere. And it feels like nobody's seeing you. So visibility, trying to get in the face of people that really need the clothes, just to show people that I'm here. I'm gonna try my clothes. But I try my possible best as much as I can. So visibility, getting people to actually know I exist. It's also one of the things I'm currently working on. I can also call it a struggle. So yeah, for me now it's just finances, visibility, and I think personally now as a designer, trying to figure this out because every day you wake up is new. Instagram is changing, things are factories are changing their prices, fabrics prices are changing. So also mentally, for me personally, mentally, I'm trying to keep up. With changes, with trends, how to do business, how to run it, how to make money, also how to feed myself. Sustainability when it comes to as a designer is also there.
Yeah, those are all challenges. I'm sure it's like a daily kind of balance of what to do in those areas. So you mentioned that when you first started, you had a full-time job. Do you still have kind of a job outside of your brand, or is this your full-time thing now?
Oh, it's actually my full-time thing, but on the side, on my business is my full-time thing, which I was doing full-time from 2020 till like last year, which I'm still doing. But on the side, I also started doing like pattern making for like smaller businesses. I also do teaching. I'm sewing classes. I'm like a contract teacher in a fashion school, so whenever they need teachers, they let me know. I used to teach my own sewing classes, but I took a break. I might get back to it, but I'm not sure yet. But I also teach classes and also do pattern. And I'm also working towards launching a dead stock fabric store online. That I've been working since last year. I think I've set up the Instagram. The Instagram is growing, but procrastination is a lot because I'm already doing a lot. So I'm looking to launch like a inclusive pattern, sewing pattern, and a fabric store altogether, like a dead stock fabric store, like unique prints.
Cool. Yeah, you really are balancing a lot, but congratulations on all of it. It sounds very exciting. Each of the things you're doing. What is something that you are most proud of in your whole journey with this brand so far?
I'm proud of myself. I keep showing up, even though it gets difficult at times. But the joy of doing something I've dreamt of as a kid, unfortunately, it's not everyone that can say that they are in the field and in industry that they want to be in. So I'm proud of myself that the consistency, that I keep showing up. I showed up when I was doing styling in school. I showed up when I did custom made. Like I didn't give up. In fact, I just kept on following the journey and the process to get to where I am currently. I don't know where I will be tomorrow, but I know I'm still going to be doing fashion in one way, in any way. Maybe now I'll be like probably pattern maker, no more having my brand. I don't know. Maybe now I'm teaching. I don't know. But I'm so proud of myself that I keep showing up. Yeah. even with the burnout and everything, I'm super, super proud of myself. And I'm also super, super proud of my customers and clients. Most of them I've not seen. Most of them are in Canada, the other in the States. So, because without them, I would not be having this discussion with you. Yeah, so a big thank you to the community I've built. I don't think I offered them enough. Like, I think they do a lot for me, but I don't do a lot for them. That's the way I feel. So I'm always like, if people would be able to get their card from their boss, find someone on Instagram they've never seen before and shop and give their money to me and expect me to deliver clothes to them, that's a whole trust that you can't, like, I have it with my community, with just my little 13,000 followers. And so that encouraged me a lot, and they encouraged me more than they can ever expect. Yeah, so that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, that's so special. I love it. I have one more question, OG,
Sure.
that I ask everyone at the end of the interview, which is, if you could communicate one value to the world through the clothes you make, what would it be?
You are enough. You are enough. Like, when it comes to clothes, when it comes to, I always want to tell the people, it's not your body, it's the clothes. I know that is, I should be saying
100%.
the body, but no, it is not your body. And that is why I make the sizes of clothing I make. If you move from 5XL to extra small, I have a size for you. If you move from extra small to 3XL, I have a size for you. So it's not your body, it's the clothes, and you are enough no matter the size you get to. So get to small, you get to big, it's still one body that you have, so just cherish it. So you're enough.
So good. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today. Where can people find out more about your brand and follow everything you're doing online?
Okay, so you can just Google me. It's OGEAJIBE. Same on Instagram, same with email, ogeajibe.com, ogeajibe on Instagram, and my email, the same thing, ogeajibe@gmail.com or info@ogeajibe.com. So yeah, just type my name and I'm everywhere online. So yeah.
Awesome. I'll put those links in the show notes too. Thanks for joining me today, OG. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was nice speaking to you too.
Yeah, nice to speak with you.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. If you'd like more episodes and resources like this about growing a fashion business that fits your customer, lifestyle, and values, sent straight to your inbox. You can sign up for my email list at howfittingpatterns.com/newsletter. Again, thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again for the next episode of How Fitting.